Well, Tim Corbin is the head baseball coach at Vanderbilt University, joining us to talk about his program and Tyler Beattie's decision to honor his commitment to the school and not take the Blue Jays' money after they drafted him 21st overall. Tim, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us here.
Good morning, Roger. How are you doing?
Doing great, and thank you very much again for being with us. First of all, before we get into Tyler, talk to us about your program. I'm sure you're very proud of it, and justifiably so. You're a destination for a lot of young men, including Tyler. What goes on at Vanderbilt University's baseball program, sir?
Well, I mean, I've been here 9 years, and we took a step forward from a college perspective and got to the College World Series last year, which was a big thing for us. We've been close, knocking on the door for several years, but we finally broke through this year, and we've had decent success in terms of getting kids off to playing professional baseball. But as you could imagine, because of Vanderbilt being a private school institution, we've come away with some kids who've gotten some nice degrees too. So we think we do well in both areas, and proud of the kids that come out of here.
And as you should be, no question about it. Tim, you know, you talk about the college route and developing a young man, and maybe again talk to us about the difference between somebody who is fortunate enough, whether it's Tyler or somebody else, to have the athletic ability and academic ability to have a scholarship and be at a good school, and somebody who tries to do it, you know, playing AA, AAA ball and getting into the system. Because one thing, when you sign with a major league team, there's a very different route to get to the show if it's all about getting to the show.
Yeah, it's two different routes, and you know, it's just the choice of the young man and how he wants to proceed at years 18, 19, 20, 21 years old, really more than anything else. Been doing this for 28 years and you know, almost 20 years at the Division I level, Clemson, and now here. I've gone through this process quite a bit with guys like Tyler. I mean, David Price had to go through this process as a high school kid, and Pedro Alvarez too. And you know what we're trying to I guess Sal, more than anything else, is the educational value of a young man and looking beyond his baseball years, knowing that that's a small window of time, to the point where when he turns 40, 41, 42 years old, and he's the age of me, even though those kids don't think that's ever going to happen, that they still have most of their life to lead. And, you know, the value of an education and getting the degree right out of the gates is very important for a lot of these kids. And we deal in that climate. We deal with a lot of kids who have parents that went to college that are very well versed on the private school education, and that's kind of the kid that we try to look at when we're recruiting. We rarely go after a kid who has not much use for school, if at all, and wants to put a value on signing right out of high school. Then we'll step aside and move in a different direction. But even though that being the case, we still fall into a situation where kids are afforded that opportunity, much like Tyler and David Price out of high school, and they have very difficult decisions to make. And, you know, in Tyler's case, he chose to come to school. And I know that involved a lot of angst on he and his family's part, and very difficult decision, but he made it, and now he's going to proceed with a college route.
Tim Corbin is a head baseball coach at Vanderbilt University. I'm Roger Lajoie for Jeff Blair, talking about Tyler Beattie, his decision to forego a large amount of money from the Blue Jays and continue his education at Vanderbilt University. Tim, I want to make this this point clear to you. I'm a big proponent of education. I think it's fantastic. I think a lot of people, you know, who in Toronto here, because it's a player that the Blue Jays had who, you know, doesn't sign with them, they say, well, you know, they'll say things like the kid's greedy. I don't think the kid's greedy at all. I think it's the opposite of being greedy. I think the kid makes a decision. You want to go to university and pursue it, then that's fantastic. And I think for the vast majority of kids, it would be the right decision. But frankly, you know, there is somebody that wants the value of an education, and it's almost like there's a price tag almost on anything. Let me try to phrase it this way, Tim. I mean, if a kid takes the money, can he always go to school at another point in life?
Well, he can. It's just going to be a different route. You know, very rarely does that get followed up on. I mean, we've had kids sign on us before. We've had a couple first-rounders sign on us, and another young man, Ryan Westmoreland, who ran into a very tragic situation with the Boston Red Sox. And, you know, me being a Boston native, I was very close to that particular situation. It's not that they won't get their education, but it's probably going to be difficult in the process because there's a lot of development that has to take place at the professional level. When you're those guys, you get selected in that round, the club putting that type of money into them it's an investment, and they feel like in that investment right there, they want to try to maximize the growth potential from a baseball standpoint as quickly as possible. That being the case, they typically don't or aren't in a situation or do have the time to get their education. And as you said, you know, greedy can be, it depends how you look at greedy, but I think in Tyler's case, if he was greedy, he would have gone after the money. I don't think it had anything to do with being greedy as much as this is a young man who wanted to go to school. It is also a young man that I had a deep relationship with. I grew up with his dad. This kid was in our baseball camps in grade 9, so the conversation that took place, the relationship that took place 4, 5, 6 years, that was developed for a long time and nurtured for a long time, and I'm sure there was a lot of trust in his dad, in me, and in our program to say, you know what, if we're going to turn down this money, we certainly, there's nothing guaranteed here, but we certainly want to trust the next level that he's jumping into. And Tyler is a skilled person. He handled a lot of this himself, all of it, and you know, handled it verbally and handled it internally too. And it was a very big decision for a young man who had a lot to chew on.
A lot to chew on and a big decision indeed. And it's an admirable one, and the family's involved, and it, you know, everything you say makes perfect sense to him. There's no question about it. I guess my only, not concern, but comment as an observer, I applaud the kid, the value of education. I see that. I just see a big difference, though, in millions of dollars on the table, as opposed to, I see the value of the education. I want to get the education, and I'll worry about money later, and that's fine. But, you know, it's a little different with millions of dollars as opposed to years ago. In fact, even lower round picks of just, oh, I'm going to put my life on hold and play double A ball for peanuts for a couple of years. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just significant money, Tim. It's, I mean, and we all know that. And I guess that's where the difficult decision. Hey, if it's $100,000, go to school. A couple of million dollars. I mean, heaven forbid, you know, have you seen situations where kids, what if the kid gets hurt? What if the arm goes and that money never comes back to him?
Yeah, it just depends how you make your decisions in life, Roger. If you make your decisions based on finances, I would probably be at LSU right now rather than Vanderbilt. That afforded us my wife and I and my family a greater opportunity financially than to stay at Vanderbilt. I didn't choose to do so. It's just how you choose to make decisions in your life, whether they're predicated on finances or whether they're predicated on lifestyle. And is $2.5 million a lot of money? It is. It is in the short term. Is it money that is going to enable you and your family when you marry a wife and kids to live on that till you're 40, 50 years old? No. I mean, you know, you can draw that out and understand it's a lot of money in the short term. I think what you have to do when you make an educated guess, and we deal in this type of world here at Vanderbilt, is you have to understand what that type of money is, and is it going to change your life? Is it generational money? Is it different money? I mean, we've gone through this, and we've had kids like Price and like Alvarez and like Jeremy Sowers and like Mark Pryor and many kids that I've even coached on Team USA that have gone on to college and gotten a degree and had the same opportunities and not had to go through the rigorous schedule of or the levels of professional baseball that some kids do. And really what it gets down to, Roger, is the consistency and lifestyle. When he chose to come here, he knew who his head coach was going to be for the next 3 or 4 years. He knew where he was going to sleep. He knew where his friends were. He's been on his field. He chose his field. He chose his pitching coach. And I think, you know, when you're a young man who's going off and playing professional baseball, there's a lot of unknowns. You have to have a great deal of confidence to jump into that world. Not that he doesn't have confidence. He has a lot of confidence because he made a decision based on his value system. But it's all how you choose to make decisions in your life. And he is the one percentile, as you well know, of kids that has chosen to do that. And I can tell you on this end, too, we were not very secure in thinking that he was coming to school. When the Blue Jays chose him and chose Kevin Comer and even chose Johnny Norwood, we thought there was a great chance we would lose all three. But we were supportive in the process and understood if he made that decision, but also understood that there was a lot of good things if he chose to come this way.
Well, and I applaud you for your decision to, you know, make a lifestyle decision. I applaud him as well, and that's great. But you got into the one percentile. And I'll just add a comment to that. And again, it all depends on where we're coming from and our backgrounds, Tim. But you are a private school for 99%, speaking of 1%, for 99% of the population, $2 million is life-changing It is a massive life change. It is a phenomenal thing. And I think, you know, some perspective sometimes has to be done. If I can be blunt and just ask you directly, is his family well off?
No. They're a middle-class family. We brought a lot of middle-class kids into the situation. Alvarez was the same type of kid. David Price was the same type of kid. But they benefited by coming to college. It was seen. And I think he...
Oh, I don't doubt for a second he benefits from coming to college. Just from talking to you, Tim, I have nothing but admiration for it. There's no question. And you said it's phenomenal. And listen, I wish the kid nothing but the best. I think it's great. And what you're doing with your program is sensational. You try to get a perspective, a handle on it. Because, you know, Tim, like in anything in life, you know, when you find out and you scratch the surface of a story and you find out the reason and the rationale, everything you said to me just makes me admire him and your school that much more. It's just difficult for some of us to understand a concept like that. And I guess as an educator myself, I teach at a private media school here in the Toronto area, is that I see so many kids now, you know, in kids, 30 and 35-year-olds in the classroom. It's like it's never too late to go back to school. But listen, I wish him nothing but the best. Fantastic for you and for him. I guess you're excited now. I mean, my goodness, to see this kid develop. What a great thing for your program.
Well, I mean, it is. I mean, I'm excited for all the kids that come into our program. And, you know, it's Tyler, as I said, we have a deep, long relationship with him. So I'm excited to mentor him and teach him as long as I can. And God willing, hopefully everything works out. As you said, there's no guarantees in life. And this is just a situation in which we're about education. That's it. If you're not into education, then you wouldn't step foot in this particular environment. But there's a value system here, and there's a lot of things taught besides baseball and academics, and we believe in them. Otherwise, I wouldn't be here. But, you know, you've got a manager who believed in that same value system with his own son and, you know, coached at the college level. And, you know, unless you're over here, you sometimes you don't understand that. But I certainly value Toronto's situation. Alex is doing a tremendous job on their end. I've followed from afar and had many friends. J.P. Ricciardi is a close friend of mine. So I know the Toronto culture in baseball and see what they're doing on the major league level and followed their system and know that they're certainly making inroads to a very good situation in a very difficult division. So I respect them and from afar for sure.
And I would suggest that everybody listening to you has nothing but the respect for you as well, Tim, and the program you're running there for sure. Tim Corbin is head coach, baseball coach at Vanderbilt University. Tim, thank you for this interview. Really enjoyed talking with you, and the best of luck to you and your fine institution the rest of the way.
Thank you very much, Roger. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Tim Corbin, head baseball coach at Vanderbilt University.